But that's the strength of the church. And these preachers that come here can't understand how this church is listed like it is. And that's the strength of it.
It sounds like a pretty healthy attitude.
Oh, and this whole neighborhood revolves around that Union Church.
I never heard of a Union Church before. Was that idea original with her?
That's the thing. So she was a Christian.
Yes, sir. That's mighty interesting.
She was a great grandmother of my daughter, Sarah. She was a woman that came here with cane brakes and pears and planters and deer and everything, had this country. Came here with her young husband and a young Christian woman. And if everybody was sick and dying, if they could just get Ms. Burris to come sit by the bed and pray for them, well, that's what they wanted.
Yes, sir.
No preachers or nothing. Mm-hmm. And she did. She prayed with them many sat by the bedside of many a sick nigger slave and prayed for him.
Could you tell me about your schooling again, Mr.
Well, I'm sorry to say my schooling, part of it I was all right and part of it I'm not proud of.
Well, tell me
about I put a wild them. Buck when I come along.
Is that right?
I had a rich man's son, I reckon as you called it. I didn't appreciate my opportunities. I went first to Chamberlain Hunt to prep school, and I made a good record down there. And
it's called Chamberlain Hunt.
Chamberlain Hunt Academy.
Is that the first school that you went to?
That was the first school I went to was Benoit Public School in 1904.
Was that a grammar school?
Yeah, grammar school right up here. And I went through about 7 or 8 grades there, and then in 1911 I went to Fort Gibson. To the Chamberlain Hunt Academy, a Presbyterian preparatory school. And I spent 2 years there and did excellent work there. Then I went to the University of Mississippi. And I reckon I was one of the youngest men that ever went to university. I went there in short pants.
How old were you?
I was 14 years old, 15 years old.
To the University of Mississippi?
University of Mississippi, I had on short pants.
I get it.
And for 2 years I did good work. I would say I did excellent work. The third year they decided to send me to the University of Virginia to school. I wanted to join a fraternity.
But your parents decided to send you there?
My mother did. My father died in the meantime. My mother was, and I persuaded her to let me go to the University of Virginia so I could join a fraternity.
They didn't have them at Ole Miss? They
had them at Ole Miss, but they were outlawed, see. They'd outlawed fraternities at Ole Miss.
Mm.
Had a state law against joining them.
Why?
Well, there's a man named Russell that went to the University of Mississippi, and he didn't make a fraternity. And he happens got to be governor. And he got a law passed putting fraternities out at Ole Miss.
Oh.
Made it unlawful to join a fraternity. All the fraternities, our fraternity, the one I joined, left. One or two ran sub rosa anyway. But the one that I wanted to join left. Well, I went to the University of Virginia and I joined the fraternity, and I didn't do any work in Virginia. I was whiled away my time. I made a lot of good friends, and I look back on my stay there, not as a loss, a complete loss from the standpoint of my books, but the contacts I made and the people I saw, and just a trip up to Monticello in a nice rig with a friend of mine one afternoon. It was worth my stay, mind you, at Virginia.
It's just
something about it that I look back on now. At that time, Monticello was in disarray. It was owned by a Jew in New York named and a family of Jews named and didn't belong to the state, and they were just letting it go and run down. They had a keeper, but the yard was all ill-kept and grown up. House was ill kept, but we went all through it. We got us a rig one evening, got us a quarter full of roses, and it was cold, windy day, and had a nice lap robe, was a fast stepping horse, and we drove up to Monticello, and we rang the bell. He came out, the gatekeeper came out, and we paid him our 50 cents, and we went on in.